Voice of Literacy, where literacy researchers, teachers, principals, parents, and policymakers share and discuss how literacy research informs practice. Join the biweekly podcast and discussion forums. My name is Dr. Betsy Baker, Professor of Literacy Studies at the University of Missouri. This week we hear from Dr. Rita Bean, Professor Emeritus at the University of Pittsburgh, where she taught graduate courses in reading education and served as Director of the Reading Center. She does research involving reading first and student achievement in the state of Pennsylvania. Welcome, Dr. Bean.
Thank you.
We're glad you're here with us today. First, tell us about yourself and how you got interested in reading first and student achievement.
I think that one of the things that I would share with you is that my interest has always been in how do we improve student learning, mm-hmm. and a belief that teacher understanding, teacher knowledge was really important. So my involvement in Reading First really came, I guess, in some ways, through the back door and being interested in how you do professional development, how you support teacher efforts. And so when the opportunity came to be involved in this evaluation effort, I jumped at the chance to really get a sense of a large-scale reform effort in the schools.
Give us a little background. What is Reading First?
Well, Reading First is really the professional development arm of No Child Left Behind. Mm-hmm. So when you really think about it, it was the effort by the federal government to say, well, look, we know a lot about how reading should be taught in schools, especially at the primary level, so let's make a concerted effort to provide the funds so that certain elements would be in all of the schools, and these would include things like a sustained block of time given to literacy instruction, assessment, looking at data to make decisions about instruction, the mm-hmm. use of a comprehensive program, and so on. So these were some of the elements that were required for any school that would receive Reading First funding. Mm-hmm. And so in Pennsylvania, we had the opportunity to really look at, well, a number of schools, but at the most 158 schools that were identified as Reading First eligible.
And your particular report we're talking about today focused on third graders. Why third grade?
Well, we chose third graders for two reasons, actually. One was that this is the year, of course, when our state test was being given, and it seemed to be a really important year. It was the final year of Reading First for any child going through it. And that was one reason, taking a look at the outcome uh-huh. over time. But mm-hmm. the second actually was more practical. We had a limited number of pages in the issue. And so we had to focus. We thought we could do a better job going in depth with a particular grade level and to try to cover kindergarten through third grade. So that was really a more practical thing. And actually, in my view, the fact that we had so few number of pages really doesn't give the reader as much of a picture of Reading First in Pennsylvania as I would like it to have given, because we had to focus on the achievement data only.
Right. And tell us about what do you mean by student achievement? How do you measure that?
Well, again, our use of the state PSSA, Pennsylvania State Assessment System, was the test that we used to measure student achievement mm-hmm. because we felt that it would give us the reliable and valid information that we needed rather than using some of the less, standardized tests that are available in the schools. Mm-hmm. We know that that's not the only way to look at student learning, but it was something that we then could also look at across all of the states, because each one of, in this particular journal article, there are, in this particular issue, there are four articles that represent four states mm-hmm. and the implementation of Reading First in these four states. So we had asked that each of the authors look at the most, large-scale kind of measure that was available for assessing student growth.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and you report that your study indicates that third grade students in Reading First in Pennsylvania made substantially more progress than schools that weren't involved in Reading First.
That's correct.
Can you elaborate on that?
Yes, like each of the other states, we had no control schools, and part of this was the dilemma that that evaluators of Reading First faced, because the components of Reading First were implemented in schools other than Reading First schools. And so the only way that we could really look at the growth of these students was to look at them in relationship to the growth of students in Pennsylvania as a whole. And we were really pleased in many ways to see that our students, in fact, had made greater gains than did students across the state of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, well, that's what you want to find. That's good.
Yes, absolutely.
So let's shift. Now that you've done this study and you have sort of a bird's eye view of the impact of Reading First in the state of Pennsylvania, what would you recommend to teachers?
Oh, my goodness. I think one of the things we learned was that it really matters that teachers understand literacy instruction, that they understand how they can use the results of data, regardless of data. I'm talking about soft data, I'm talking about test scores, but the teachers understand that they can look at what students know and don't know and make decisions about what they'll do the next day in their classrooms, the next week in their classrooms. Mm-hmm. So that understanding of literacy is really critical.
Yes. And how do they glean that, or do they have that, or?
I think that was, again, what I wish would be. I have a wish list of what should be in the article. I think the work of the literacy coaches in these schools, the professional development that was provided by the states and the districts, were really key to teachers' understanding. I think one of the things I heard most frequently was the fact we now have a common language. We now know what phonemic awareness is. We understand what fluency is, what vocabulary instruction means. So when you talk with teachers now, they didn't just talk about kids as being good readers or poor readers. They could talk about what kids could actually do or not do.
Yeah, wonderful. And you raise a important point in this in our economic times. Actually, the school district that I live in has recently cut all the literacy coaches because of the fiscal shortages. But your work would say, gosh, without those coaches, you maybe not wouldn't have had the progress you saw.
I believe that's true, and I think in some future work that's coming out, actually, in Elementary School Journal, that we're going to see evidence that this is so, that the coaches really made a difference, and that when they coach, it makes a difference.
Yeah. So what would you tell principals and policymakers?
I'd say that we need to look at how we can use resources more effectively, and I'm talking about human resources here, not programs, but rather, what are the ways in which we can, establish a school that says, look, there's a lot of leadership in our schools, there's a lot of talent, and we need to think about how to use that talent most effectively. So even if there, the finances aren't there, the fiscal ability to hire coaches, there are ways to use teachers in different ways, to do differentiated staffing. I think that's part of what we have to think about. We have to be smarter in helping teachers to recognize that they teach children, but they also can teach each other.
Yes. And finally, what would you tell parents?
I would suggest to parents that they have a really in-depth understanding of what their school is doing with literacy instruction, that they become familiar with what the reading program looks like at their school and take every opportunity to become familiar with it, but in addition to request ways in which they can work with their children so that they can be partners in that learning process.
Yes, but that can be really intimidating. I mean, it's kind of like, if I go into a physician who knows a lot about, hopefully, medicine, and I don't know what I'm talking about, how do parents, what if they feel like, gosh, I don't even know what the teacher's telling me?
I believe that what we really need to think about is how to help teachers understand how they can help parents feel more comfortable. And that's part of our obligation, and that's one of the things I'm excited about at this time. I really see that schools are recognizing the need to to really involve parents a lot more in how to work with their children. So I think it's not just from the parents' perspective, but also from the school perspective, that we as educators understand that that school community partnership, that school parent partnership, is a critical dimension.
Yes, yes. So what research are you going to do now? What's the follow-up for Reading First, and where do we go from here?
Well, I have to tell you that we have lots of data that we haven't mined yet.
Yes.
And so some of my time is going to be spent in really looking at a couple of things, one of them being the voices of teachers.
Hmm.
What are teachers thinking about? How do they think about Reading First? How do they think about the support from the coaches? And even more importantly, to what extent do they understand why they're doing what they're doing? That's what I really want to get a better picture of. Do they have a good understanding of why they're doing what they do in their classrooms, rather than being technicians?
Yes. Well, we'll look forward to those reports as well. Dr. Beam from the University of Pittsburgh, thank you for being with us today.
You're welcome. I was delighted to have a chance to talk about my work.
Oh, good. You can find Dr. Bean's research in a themed issue of the Journal of Literacy Research that focuses on Reading First. This issue is Volume 42, Issue 1. This podcast is now available from iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter, as well as our website, www.voiceofliteracy.org, where you can find a link to this article and additional work done by Dr. Bean. We invite you to join online discussions of this and other podcast episodes, peruse a schedule of upcoming topics and guests, and post questions for those guests. This is the Voice of Literacy.